RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news, commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesian government faults massive deregulation to attract investment. Minister Susi Pujastuti addresses Pacific Island Forum. OJK calls for infrastructure funding from non-banks. Now the news in detail. Indonesian government on Wednesday promised quick and massive deregulation in manufacturing, trade and agriculture to attract much-needed investment in Southeast Asia's largest economy. The measures are part of a stimulus package being finalized this month by President Joko Widodo in a bid to improve investor sentiment, which has soared due to slowing domestic consumption, China's downturn and weak commodity prices. Chief Economic Minister Darmin Nasution said 160 regulations were identified as being negative for investors. President Joko Widodo and his cabinet minister plan to review these regulations in marathon meetings over the next few days to decide which ones to eliminate. The stimulus package will also include tax holidays and a new import policy for beef, an important source of protein in Indonesian diet. According to Minister Darmin, the mining sector was among the industry being targeted for deregulation. The government was instead looking at how to provide incentives to accelerate smelter developments. Indonesian Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, Susi Pujastuti, addressed the third summit of the Pacific Islands Development Forum, VIDF, in Fiji's capital, Suva, on Wednesday. Minister Pujastuti was quoted as saying by the Maritime Affairs and Fishery Minister in a press statement issued on Wednesday that one world, one sea and one planet. What happened in Asia will have an impact on Europe's climate, and what Indonesia does in the Pacific will surely have an impact on the rest of the world. She appealed to the countries in the Pacific Islands to take responsibility for serving the marine resources in their respective territories. Minister Pujastuti further underscored the importance of sustainable marine and fishery resources management to achieve Indonesian vision of sea in the future of the nation. Mulyaman Hada, chief of the Financial Service Authority OJK, urged Indonesian government to encourage sourcing infrastructure funding from capital market instruments such as stocks and bonds. This method is considered more suitable than seeking bank loans. Haddad admitted that borrowing financing infrastructure development using bank loans is a phenomenon in the developing markets. The banking sector has a very large portion in infrastructure financing. He also said the government must develop capital markets by strengthening supplies, demand, infrastructure, and supervision. From the supply side, the government could push financial institutions to accumulate funds through the capital market and provide a wide range of instruments for investors to choose from. In times of demand, the government can reinforce the role of insurers and pension fund managers. Indonesian Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro plans to establish Indonesian Development Bank IDB in 2016. The aim is to help smooth the development of projects that uses public-private partnership, triple P seemed. According to Minister Bambang, one of the obstacles in developing infrastructure with triple P scheme is funding. Indonesian banks, according to Minister Bambang, prefer to disburse consumer loans rather than to developers. This makes investors reluctant to take part in working on infrastructure projects. With the establishment of the State Development Bank, developers can have an alternative source of domestic. The IDB, which will be derived from BT's Rana Multi-Infrastructure, can serve as a representative of interest between the government and public and also private developers. The government and community of Vietnam in Jakarta on Wednesday celebrated the 70 years of Vietnamese independence and 60 years of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Vietnam. Vietnamese Ambassador to Indonesia, Nguyen Xuan Thuy, in his opening speech in Indonesian language at the 17th commemoration of Vietnamese National Day and 60 years diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Vietnam in Jakarta on Wednesday night, said that diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Vietnam have existed for 60 years and can be improved to strategic partnership level. Furthermore, Ambassador Nguyen Xuan Thuy explained that diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Vietnam can be described in a goodwill visit of Indonesian warship or Kri Dewa Ruche in 1959 to Hanoi, where President Sukarno came directly to Vietnam and was greeted by the charismatic leader of Vietnam, Ho Chi Minh. Indonesian president who have also made visit to Vietnam to improve the relations are Megawati Sukarno Putri, President Sulobanuyono, and President Joko Widodo. German Festival 2015 will be held in several major cities in Indonesia from September to December 2015. The festival with the theme Together Towards the Future was organized by the German Minister of Foreign Affairs in collaboration with the German Chamber of Commerce in Indonesia, ECONIF, the German Embassy and the Goethe Institute in Jakarta. Dr. George Wiesel, the German ambassador to Indonesia in a press conference on 2 September in Jakarta, said that Indonesia was chosen as the country holding the German festival in 2015 as Indonesia and Germany have a good and close cooperation. Germany is Indonesia's largest trading partner of the European Union countries. The festival is not only focused on cultural level but also presents a comprehensive overview of the bilateral relations between Indonesia and Germany. The festival is expected to strengthen the relationship between the two countries. Ambassador George Wiesel added, 2015 is a special year for the relations between Indonesia and Germany, which Indonesia is a state guest of honor at the world's largest book fair, the Frankfurt Book Fair. For 3 months, the German festival will feature a variety of events. These events are held in collaboration between Germany and Indonesia in the field of culture, art, science, the environment, renewable energy, economics, and politics. The last item, 6 countries has participated in a kite festival being held in Choron Beach, Panajan Pasar Utara District, East Kalimantan Province, on September 1st until 2nd, 2015. Acting head of the Culture of Tourism Office, Panajan Pasar Utara, Ali Mudin, said recently that the foreign participants in the kite festival are from France, United States, Australia, Singapore, Thailand, and Malaysia. He remarked that the kite festival aims to preserve and develop the traditional game of kite flying in Indonesia. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Well, listener, next year Indonesia will host the meeting of Asia-Pacific Tribal Association, PATA. The meeting called the TRIPALMA 2016 or the World Tourism Exhibition 2016 will be held in Jakarta. According to the plan, this event will be attended by 200,000 foreign visitors, about 600 tourists and service providers from 31 countries will come to Indonesia, and the event will be covered by more than 100 international media. But the TRIPALMA this year is held in Bangalore, India. The tourism business people and the government of Indonesia as the host will use the momentum as an excellent opportunity. Indonesia can further promote tourism and increase the number of tourists. Obviously, the readiness and the hard work of all parties are also needed so that this exhibition can be held properly and it can bring about positive impact for Indonesian tourism sector. To be able to use the momentum of the year-end season visit, the government of Indonesia implements a policy to increase additional visit visas to Indonesia for several countries. This means that the target number of tourists coming to Indonesia for the years 2015-2019 can grow twofold,
front 10 million to 20 million foreign tourists. Based on the decision of the coordination meeting between the Minister of Tourism, Arif Yahya, and Coordinating Minister of Maritime, Rizal Ramli, the second stage of the visit visa exemption for 47 countries has been established. At the initial stage, namely in June 2015, the Indonesian government has freed a visitor visa for 30 countries outside ASEAN countries that are already getting free visa to Indonesia. According to Minister Rizal Ramli, granting visa-free visit is a quick and appropriate step to increase the number of foreign tourists to visit Indonesia. The countries that get a visa-free facility are including Australia, India, and Taiwan. The three countries are the ones that most contribute to foreign exchange through tuition in Indonesia, namely about 60% of the total foreign tourists. With the second stage of the visa exemption, the number of countries given visa exemption has reached 92 countries. Of course, this policy is expected to increase the number of foreign tourists to visit Indonesia. In turn, this will increase foreign exchange for Indonesia, especially with the Travel Mart 2016 in Indonesia. Listener, that was commentary today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to be with you again in our regular program, Today in History, over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on 3rd of September 1939, when Britain and France declared war on Germany. One of the causes of the Second World War was lightning strike or Blitzkrieg, which was committed by Germany on Poland on September 1, 1939. In a short time, most of Poland was occupied by the Germany. The Soviet Union felt that its security was threatened, and it immediately invaded Poland from the east. On 10th of September 1939, Britain and France declared war on Germany. The Second World War involved many countries. Central powers, namely Germany, Italy, Japan, Austria, Romania, and Finland, were against the Blood Alliance, namely Britain, France, Russia, China, the USA, Austria, and Poland. The next event was in 1945, when President Sukarno ordered to establish Indonesian Red Cross Society, IRCS, or Palang Merah Indonesia. The IRCS was created on 17th of September 1945, exactly 1 month after Indonesian independence. The former President Sukarno ordered its inception when a battle between Indonesian soldiers and elite troops broke out, leaving many wounded people on 3rd of September 1945. Based on the performance, IRCS received an international recognition in 1950, and it was accepted as a member of the International Red Cross and achieved its legal status through Presidential Decree No. 25-1959. Which was later reinforced by President Decree No. 24-1963. And the last event was in 1976, when the Viking II landed on Utopia Planitia. The Viking II mission was part of the American Viking program to Mars. The craft was launched on September 9, 1975. Following the launch, using a Titan or Centaur launch vehicle to Mars, the Viking 2 orbiter began returning global images of Mars prior to orbit insertion. The orbiter was inserted into Mars orbit on August 7, 1976. Imaging of candidate sites was begun, and the landing site was selected based on these pictures and the images returned by the Viking 1 orbiter. The
lander separated from the orbiter on September 3rd, landed at Ethiopia, Phoenicia. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Well, listener, in the pre-market of the ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, by the end of 2015, the actors of a small and medium industries, SMEs, are expected to implement two strategies, namely defensive and offensive ones. The defensive strategies mean that there must be internal improvement by referring or improving quality and quantity of products. Meanwhile, the offensive one is meant to flog the global markets, so that products sold by Indonesia overseas can be accepted well. This system can also be done by promoting superior products of Indonesia. Secretary of Directorate General of the SMEs at the Minister of Industry, Bus Harmaidi, said that the offensive system can take advantage of market opportunities quickly and accurately, so that Indonesian products can compete in many countries. Therefore, if there is a chance, Indonesia should be able to use it. He explained that the products of SMEs have high chances in ASEAN markets, such as food and clothing sectors. Processed food products of SMEs are very rich and they have a high sale value. Moreover, the textile-based products have a great opportunities, and it should be known that for the muslin fashion, Indonesia becomes the market icon of some foreign countries. This has become one of the strengths and will become a powerful step in applying Indonesian defensive market strategy to face ASEAN economic community. On the other hand, Indonesian Ambassador to Malaysia, Herman Prayitno, said that in general, Indonesian migrant workers in Malaysia are ready to compete with other workers in Malaysia. In fact, training and self-competence improvement have to be carried out continuously. Ambassador Herman added, the high demand for foreign workers in Malaysia poses tight competition that must be faced by Indonesian workers who are working in Malaysia. The Indonesian Embassy in Malaysia supports Indonesian American workers to improve their quality by joining a number of activities prepared by relevant parties. Ambassador Herman said, Indonesian Embassy has always socialized ASEAN Economic Community 2015 to migrant workers in order to be able to compete at ASEAN level. They have to participate and be able to compete by improving education and creativity to achieve welfare. Meanwhile, some regions in Indonesia, such as the governor of Sampan Madura, East Java, are ready to face ASEAN Economic Community. They have carried out some self-improvement by activating community skills through vocational training center. Head of Social Service at Manpower and Transmigration Ministry in Sampan, Amrullah Mali, said the trainings provided by the communities are light, embroidering, sewing, servicing motorcycle, automobile servicing, batik, and welding workshop. According to Malit, at the moment, Sampan local products such as batik and shoes had pretty good quality. In fact, sales had been done outside the area. Meanwhile, Sampan soil production begin approaching good quality. In addition, another region in Indonesia that continues to prepare for the ASEAN Economic Community is the city of Bekasi, West Java. To face ASEAN Economic Community 2015, the regional head of Indonesian Cooperative Council for Bekasi, Anin Imamuddin, said that the cooperatives in Bekasi need financial assistance of the regional budget. The budget, according to Anim, is needed to improve human resources, invest in the pre-market, organization, capital, management, technology, marketing, and service. Listener, that was Focus Today, presented by Rahmana.
Hello, listener. Welcome to headline of some national newspapers published on Thursday, September 3rd in Jakarta. Kompas in its headline writes about it is time to unite in facing the difficult situation. Amid the slowdown condition of national economic growth and threat of the crisis, the National Awakening Party PAN joined with the government.
The party wants to help the government to overcome problems to create stability and conducive investment climate. Businessmen welcomed the joining of PAN in the government coalition. With the National Awakening Party or PAN's presence, the government will get more solid support in parliament so that programs of the working cabinet could run more optimally. General Chairman of PAN, Zulkifli Hasan in Jakarta, on Wednesday asserted PAN to join in the government coalition supporters precisely to help the government faces a difficult situation that hit Indonesia. According to Zulkifli, economic growth slowdown should be addressed by national consolidation by combining all the potential of the nation. Republika says business climate is changed. The government will join together with entrepreneurs to discuss economic slowdown. General Chairman of Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry Kadin, Suryo Bambang Sulisto, said the discussion will be held in the Bogor Palace. President, along with entrepreneurs, discussed the issues that obstacle business and investment activities. The step is related to the government plan to issue economic policy package to overcome economic slowdown and the weakening of rupiah. Meanwhile, Media Indonesia writes in its headline about 154 regulations to be revised soon. Pressure against rupiah still continue. Yesterday, rupiah currency back to fall at the level of 14,132 per US dollar, or weakened to 36 points from the previous position. A negative sentiment of market share also has impact at the capital market that weakened to 11.16 points to become 4,401.29. The impact of fluctuation of global economy pushed the government to accelerate the compilation of four stimulus policy packages of Indonesian economy. They are fiscal policy, investment deregulation policy, energy policy, and food policy. We conclude today's headline with a headline from Business Indonesia. The government is ready to implement massive deregulation. The government will deregulate toward hundreds of laws and regulation in the sector of industry and trade in order to encourage industry as a motor of the national economy. President Joko Widodo stressed the need for massive deregulation to create a favorable investment climate so as to drive the national economic engine. In the opening of plenary cabinet meeting, President Joko Widodo said that based on discussions with the Chamber of Commerce and Industry Kadin Indonesia and business associations, there are hundreds of regulations that are not supporting the business climate in the country. To perform large-scale deregulation, Jokowi initiated the meeting for 1 to 2 days at the Bogor Palace, which involves all relevant ministries and institutions. That was headline.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Indonesian government on Wednesday promised quick and massive deregulation in manufacturing, trade, agriculture to attract much-needed investment in Southeast Asia's largest economy. The measures are part of the stimulus package being finalized this month by President Joko Widodo in a bid to improve investor sentiment, which has soared due to slowing domestic consumption channels, downturn, and weak commodity prices. Indonesian Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, Susi Pujastuti, addressed the third summit of the Pacific Island Development Forum, PIDF, in the Fiji's capital, Suva, on Wednesday. Minister Pujastuti was quoted as saying by the Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Ministry in a press statement issued on Wednesday that one world, one sea, and one planet. What happened in Asia will have an impact on Europe's climate, and what Indonesia does in the Pacific will sure have an impact on the rest of the world. Mulyaman Hadda, Chief of the Financial Services Authority OJK, urged Indonesian government to encourage sourcing infrastructure funding from capital market instruments such as stock and bonds. This method is considered more suitable than seeking bank loans. Indonesian Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro plans to establish Indonesian Development Bank IDB in 2016. The aim is to help smooth the development of projects that uses public-private partnership seemed. According to Mr. Bamban, one of the obstacles in developing infrastructure with public-private partnership seemed is funding. The government of and community of Vietnam in Jakarta on Wednesday celebrated the 70 years of Vietnamese independence and 60 years of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Vietnam. German Festival 2015 will be held in several major cities in Indonesia from September to December 2015. The festival with the theme Together Towards the Future was organized by the German Minister of Foreign Affairs in collaboration with the German Chamber of Commerce in Indonesia, ECONIP, the German Embassy and the Goethe Institutes in Jakarta. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, as well as art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Gobang Art, unique art of Riau Islands province. So stay tuned. Listener, Anambas is a regency in the form of tropical archipelago which is located in the South China Sea, exactly in Riau Islands province. It is an interesting tropical island with a broad expanse of blue sea decorated with scattered lagoon. Here you can find many diving spots with variety of marine life. In addition to its natural beauty, Anambas also actually has diversity of interesting art and culture to be known. One of the places we'll bring to you, namely Gobang Art. Gobang is a unique original Jemaja art Anambas Regency. The dance art, which looked like a traditional opera, in its appearance is always equipped with a strange costume dancers. All dancers wearing sinister masks, such as monkeys, evil giants, and gods. The accompanying music consists of percussion instruments like up drum, long drum, short drum, and gong. In the middle of the music, the players dedicate the local language. Its poems contain moral guidance and advice. Besides singing, the performers dancing with the monotonous rhythm dance, but many viewers who see the attraction participate to dance along with the music and songs. However, those who want to dance, the audiences are also required to wear masks. Listen.
prisoner Gopang Art was previously plead for 3 nights in a row for the ritual procession to repel evil or for treatment with poetry readings, spells involving spirits. But now, this art can be played only in a matter of hours. In addition, the Gobang art is currently played for entertainment. Gobang performances are usually shown in certain days, such as the wedding ceremony, the celebration of Independence Day, or in the art of culture and culture performances, both held in the regencies of Anambas Islands, as well as those held in the capital of Riau Islands province. The art is usually played by 8 to 10 players at night. Perhaps Gobang originally played by a group of forest-dwelling spirits. The ritual was prayed by some fishermen who were fishing near the location. In short story, the fishermen agreed to mimic the movements of the spirits. They make such a dance movement. Until now, the dance continues to be inherited from generation to generation. They dance with special customs, namely the Lawa and Ka mask. Ka mask is a multicolored dress using a mask made of wood. Lawa mask is a cloth form full suit, bowler hat, shoes and scarves. Each Lawa mask dancer will bring a flashlight. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Gobang Art. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany. Today's edition presents you a special food from Nreka, South Sulawesi, named Baji Kotul. Nrekang is a small city where tourists often pass through when visiting Tanah Toraja. Few things can be found in this small area, but there is one worth trying thing when you pass through Nrekang. Baji Kotu, that's the name of a sweet food which accompanies local people while drinking coffee. Nrekang indeed always becomes the convergence point of visitors who will go to or return from Tanah Toraja. You can easily find Baji Kotu in food stalls throughout the road of Nrekang City. The snack covered with corn leaf, which is also called dondale by Nrekang people, encourages us to find out more. Voice of Indonesia team then met the owner of this food stall. She is Rabia. Rabia has been making and selling bajikotu for 8 years. She gets her skill in making simple dal into a snack from generation to generation. Since she was 9, the previous food store owner, who was her mother, taught her how to make simple ingredients to become snack. Surprisingly, the skill that her mother taught becomes her main family income now. Bajikotu is indeed a sweet food. Its aroma attempts your smell sense quickly. Its simple package and tempting aroma only consists of the main ingredients that can be easily found in Enreka. In an interview, Rabia explained the ingredients to make bajikotu and how to make it.
Bajikotu, makanan khas dari Enreka. Ya.
Bajikotu is a special food from Enreka made of sticky rice, coconut, and brown sugar. Steam the white sticky rice. After that, put in a crock. Then stir it with brown sugar.
Beras kuno tu sesudah itu dikasih masuk di kuali, digaruk, diaduk sama itu gula merah.
Grated coconut is also used in bajikotu style. Rabia chooses young coconut because it can create rich taste in bajikotu. After the dal is fully stirred, then bajikotu style is done. The sticky dal with sweet aroma is then wrapped in corn leaf. This dal will last for 3 weeks only. It is because Rabia doesn't use preservative in every snack. Once the wrapping process is done, the next process is cooling. After it turns cool, it's packaging time. Bajikotu is put in 8 sheets of plastic. One packed plastic of bajikotu costs 8,000 to 10,000 rupiah. With a profit of 2,000 rupiah per pack, Rabia saves it to become the capital of bajikotu production making. How much that Rabia needs for one production? It needs 1 million because in one production, 30 liters of sticky rice can produce 300 pieces. We also give it to resellers in food stalls. We sell it for 8,000 rupiah, then they resell it for 10,000 rupiah. Brown sugar, young coconut, and sticky rice are cooked with perfect level of ripeness. Then it is wrapped in a dried corn leaf. This dough mixture makes the aroma of bajikotu comes out through the corn leaf. Besides bajikotu, this city also has red cake. With the same ingredients, different dish can be created. So, if you go to Toraja, come over and rekang today's bajikotu. Well, listener, that ends today's miscellany on the special dish from Enrekang, South Sulawesi, named bajikotu. I'm Harnita. Thank you for listening.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to two band groups, namely My Face Band and Dida Band. Let us firstly have a look at My Face Band. As we know, Bandung City bearing famous musicians, especially band groups. Let's say Gigi Band, Peter Band, The Titans, ST12, and many more. And now, My Face Band will add the color of music industry in the country. My Face Band was born with the music genre experimental pop rock. The band consisted of Putra, the vocalist, Riri Endosi, the guitarist, Jibang, the bassist, and Aulia, the drummer. The band is not just playing music. Through their music, there is one mission that carried by the young men. Say no to drugs. That is their slogan. Well, listener, let's listen to the song entitled Andai Aku Bisa by My Face. Happy listening.
Dengarkan aku, bisik kecilku, lelah melangkah untuk mengejarmu. Di saat aku berikan semua, tapi mengapa kau meninggalkanku? Kini kau jauh pergi dariku, entah kemana. Dengarkan aku, bisik kecilku.
lifespan has a seriousness in the movement of anti-drug. They composed a song called Say No to Drugs, which is dedicated to sounding anti-drugs, which is addressed to all levels of society. The composition of lyrics is not difficult, since the drug phenomenon are rampant even among public figures, so it's easy to get soul of the song. The strength of the songs of My Face Band lies on Putra, the vocalist, as a composer of the majority of their songs. Currently, there are 30 songs, whereas 8 of which have been picked in the first album of My Face Band, entitled Terbang or Fly. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Cuma Teman or Just Friends. Happy listening.
Setiap langkah kecilmu kuiringi dengan senyumku agar dirimu mengerti hidupmu. Setiap tetes tangisku ku coba untuk bersihkan itu.
just listened to the song Cuma Teman by My Face Band, brought to you from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, now we turn to have a look at another band, namely Dida Band. Inspired by John Mayer, Taylor Swift, and Hanson as the music foundation, two young men from Surabaya City, Ido Pradananto, bassist, and Randy Pandugo, the vocalist and guitarist, who called themselves Dida, came to the music industry and brought the pop genre with a blues and country packaging. Their idealism to play music as a form of American pop nuance wrapping the thread of the album entitled Duography. Meanwhile, the name of Dida is taken from their melody in composing the songs. Ido said, Duography initially is chosen as the name of a duo musicians collaborated with the band format, but because it was too difficult to pronounce, it was decided to use the Dida name, and Duography is used as the title of their first album. As a newcomer in the Indonesian music industry, Dida is quite optimistic to release Duography album with hit singles entitled Takkan Berakhir. Well, listeners, to conclude today's music corner, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Takkan Berakhir and Tak Ingin by Dida Band. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Baru ku sadari aku mencintaimu. Meski ku sadari aku telah memiliki dirinya, hatinya, cintanya. Tak aku mengerti apa yang telah terjadi. Begitu banyak kisah aku, kau dan dirinya. Berawal teman biasa, penuh canda, penuh tawa. Cinta segitiga. Tak ingin aku memilih, kau atau dia, dua wanita terhebat yang pernah aku miliki. Sungguh-sungguh ku tak ingin menyakiti hati kalian. Tak ingin, tak aku mengerti apa yang telah terjadi. Begitu banyak kisah aku, kau dan dirinya. Berawal teman biasa, penuh canda, penuh tawa. Tumbuh benih-benih cinta, baru cinta segitiga. Sungguh ku tak ingin
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Takkan berakhir sampai di sini, ku takkan hancur tanpa dirimu. Oh, 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 oh. Yo. Hati yang luka membekas dalam diriku. Engkau tinggalkan ku tanpa ku tahu alasan darimu. Kau pikir kau terbaik, kau pikir kau layak untukku. Tak akan aku sesali kehadiranmu, karena aku takkan berakhir.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.